Coming up on Outcast UK.
Terrified me. I seen him once out and about and he went, "When are we going to see you back in the gym, lad?" And I was like, "When you're not there, you fit man." Accepts NSFW pictures. One of the options is yes, please. Which I have ticked.
You just want to be trapped in a tin can with a load of men, don't you?
This is it, yeah. I want to be in, a vessel full of semen.
This is the UK's hottest LGBTQ+ podcast. Outspoken. Outrageous. Outcast UK.
It's Graham from Outcast UK. Kevin McGrath is here. Hi, Kev.
Woo, hi.
It's Kevin McGrath from the Virgin Radio Pride Daily. I've enjoyed that this summer.
Have you? What was your favourite episode?
Episode 8.
8?
Yes. Big fan of that. They are all numbered, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
And what specifically did you like about
it? I can't remember.
It
was just the tone of voice, Kev, was really refreshing. Right. Coming up on the show tonight, we're talking Manchester Pride. Time for the queer news first, though. Kev, what is coming up?
Kid Rock.
And?
A 16-foot penis.
Well, Kev, it's the last one of the season. No pressure there. Lots of pressure. Lots of pressure. First off, what's going on?
Cheers, Graham. A man suspected of shooting a woman dead in the US because he didn't like her pride flag had a history of queerphobia. 66-year-old Laura Ann Carleton was attacked outside a clothing store in California. It's come out Travis Ikaguchi said online, LGBTQ+ people should be killed, and posted a photo of a pride flag on fire. He's since been shot dead by police. Matthew Clevenger knew Laura as a friend and an ally. He tells ABC News anyone could be a target for hate like this.
I hope people realize that you don't have to be gay to be killed because there's a rainbow flag. This was a straight white woman with children.
A teacher of the year in America has been hounded out of a primary school and a home for the crime of being an LGBTQ+ ally. Karen Lauritsen's been attacked by conservative news outlets and parents in Idaho for promoting transgenderism and being a left-wing activist. She supported queer people and Black Lives Matter on her socials, but never once brought this into the classroom. Karen now teaches at a university in Illinois. She tells CNN the backlash started as soon as she got the award.
This horrible press saying that I was influencing the students in my classroom in negative ways, and that I was, you know, not a person who represented Idaho and the type of Idaho that they wanted.
Things in Malaysia are getting so bad for LGBTQ+ people, even the drag queens are giving up. Carmen Rose has quit performing after a police raid at one of her shows that led to several arrests. She says it's just not worth the risk. Being gay is illegal in Malaysia, and queer people are being targeted more and more by politicians. Carmen tells Reuters many lawmakers there are ignorant.
They see us as sexual deviants or as someone who is a sinner. We're not doing any harm to anyone. We're just, you know, being ourselves. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to be happy.
How do you spell hypocrisy? It's K-I-D-R-O-C-K. Earlier this year, the American singer and knuckle-dragger Kid Rock shot at packs of Bud Light with an assault rifle because the beer had partnered with a trans influencer. Well, now Kid, who's 52 but fine, Kid has been filmed drinking this devil juice. Not entirely surprising, though, because the restaurant he owns still serves it. You know how the anti-trans brigade say they just want to protect the children? Well, one's been protesting with a massive sign with a penis on it in full view of kids. Ron Hedlund's a Republican Party official in Virginia. He plonked himself outside a children's baseball game there to protest against schools supporting trans students. For some reason, he takes a 16-foot sign to his demos featuring a big old appendage with a picture of Joe Biden's face at the business end. A former advisor to President Putin claims Ukraine's brainwashing its soldiers to be gay. Sergei Markov reckons it's so they'll be like the Spartans of ancient Greece, seen as the strongest army of all time. He says they were united by a homosexual brotherhood. Historians think being gay was the norm in ancient Greece. So that's the first place I'm going in my new time machine. And if you're in need of a good laugh, this should do the trick. Grindr's carried out a survey of its users, and about a quarter say they're on it to network. The company's CEO reckons he's actually hired quite a few people he's met on the app. No word on exactly what openings they've filled, and maybe we shouldn't ask. And that's your queer news from Outcast UK.
Thanks, Kev. Interesting one there about Ukraine's armed forces. Now, it is, though. The point being, a Putin advisor is saying that the US is using brainwashing to make gay Ukrainian super soldiers. This is what we were told.
That sounds like it's totally true.
It sounds fantastic.
Do you want to join the army now?
Yeah, I do. All of a sudden, I want to sign up. The Ukraine's armed forces will become zombified and unified through gay sex.
Yeah.
Along with cult members ready to sacrifice themselves. That is a quote from whoever it was.
Sergei Markov. You know when me think he doth protest too much? I think it's one of them.
I think that a lot about a lot of these sort of figures. I'm always like, why are you so bothered? Cult members ready to sacrifice themselves. Surely that is the definition of being in the armed forces. There's a bit of cultishness involved, isn't there? You know, that you have to be really bought into the whole structure, prepared to die for the cause.
But when you put it like that, actually, I suppose I'm just thinking, oh, they're all very patriotic and just believe in what they're doing. But yeah, I suppose there is an argument. It is a bit cult-like.
I have nothing respect for our armed forces, but you could almost make the same remark about ours, our boys. You could. Not that they're all gay, but there is very much bought into a bigger picture.
The idea that they are all gay, though, is pretty hot.
It's very appealing.
I mean, sorry
it?
To you know bring it down to that level, but it is quite hot.
You don't know this about me. In 2018, I hated my job. So what I did, almost whimsically, was...
I hope this is what I think it is. I
went to join the Navy.
I knew you'd love it. That's like running away to the circus.
It is.
You nearly joined the Navy. Brilliant.
Yeah, I did.
In the Navy.
I did, and I was about to say sailed through the test, but I didn't mean that.
I love
like
that pun.
No, it wasn't even on purpose. So I wanted to join the Navy, and I wanted to not be a normal Navy person, seaman. I wanted to be a submariner.
Right. So is that like sub and dom?
Yeah, that's it.
There's a submariner and a dom mariner.
I got to the interview. I was like, there's been a terrible mix-up. I thought this was going to be a lot more exciting.
You were going to join the Navy?
I was going to join the Navy. Wanted to join the submarine service.
This is like you're in a sitcom.
No, I did. I wanted to join the submarine service because my granddad did it years ago, and I thought, well, that sounds really interesting.
You know, my granddad did stuff, but
you don't.
I don't want to. He smokes Park Drive cigarettes. They don't interest me.
It wasn't the only reason. It was also it was well paid. It was well paid.
All about the money, you innit? Yeah, serving your country.
But in that situation, I felt like it was a bit about serving the country. And also, what a really interesting job.
You just want to be trapped in a tin can with a load of men, don't you?
This is it, yeah. I want to be in a vessel full of semen. That's the second time that gag is.
Oh, you're so grubby.
No, I really wanted to do it. And I passed all the things. And the only thing I wasn't good at was maths.
What, you actually took tests for it?
I went for two interviews and I was approved.
Oh, bloody hell. This went quite a way down the line.
I didn't tell you this, did I? And
no.
I failed the medical.
Did you not tell me it because, you know, I'd just laugh my head off?
I knew you'd laugh. I failed the medical.
You failed the medical?
I got all the way through to the medical.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, we can't take this any further. We can't do this. We can't proceed with this. Back to the armed forces of Ukraine and the Putin advisor saying they're using brainwashing to turn them into gay Ukrainian super soldiers. Now, that is based on the idea of, he said that he's based this on a bit of kind of truth, hasn't he? A bit of historical truth.
Yeah. In ancient Greece, you had the Spartans, who were seen as the strongest army of all time.
Yeah.
And historians think that being gay was the norm in ancient Greece.
They were all the Spartans, if I've got the right Greek army, whatever, here. They were an army. There was an army full of just gay lovers. Everyone was...
This sounds amazing.
In a relationship. Yeah, but you did have to go and kill. And on the battlefield, they fought, like, the legend has it, fought stronger than all the other armies because they had this brotherhood that was just unmatched.
And they all had extra swords, didn't they?
They all... This is it. Apparently, homosexuality in ancient Greece was tolerated and regarded as no big deal, and by some, even considered fashionable. It sounds like modern day.
Mm.
But not that I think being homosexual is fashionable. This isn't the Daily
Very
Mail.
Very Alamo.
apparently, not everybody was into it. Orpheus was dismembered by someone for advocating homosexual love. So they weren't entirely into it. And that Vladimir Putin sort of cohort there is clearly a bit on the crazy side.
They're already hacking your computer now.
They are, and they'll find absolutely nothing of interest. On the way, we're going to be talking about Grindr. They've carried out a survey. You wouldn't answer that correctly, would you? A Grindr survey.
This is Outkast UK.
Before we go any further, Outkast UK has its live show coming at the London Podcast Festival, not far away now. It's a couple of weeks away. It's going to be on Friday, the 8th of September at the London Podcast Festival, King's Place in London, in the St. Pancras Room, where we are going to be having a roundtable discussion. I have got the controversial LGBTQ plus artist Liam Stoney McDonald having a bit of an artist talk with us. We're going to be chatting about his work. I've got Nick Charles in. You know my mate Nick. He is the podcaster, music producer, DJ. He's DJing at Fire. He's DJing everywhere. His DJing career is popping off. But he, just ahead of going off on his holes the next morning, is going to be joining us in London for that roundtable discussion. And our good friend Topher Taylor is on hand as well, helping out with some people's sexual needs. No, that doesn't sound right. Advice, sex advice and relationships advice. That was it. He's not going to be helping out with sexual needs unless certain criteria are fulfilled. You will find all the info to get your tickets. They're only £9 and it's not a massive venue and it's not a massive audience. You can be part of this show. £9 a ticket, I think that's right, about £9 a ticket. Head to playoutcastuk.com. That is playoutcastuk.com. And the ticket link is on there. Right now, the show.
Outkast UK.
It's Graham from Outkast UK. Kev McGrath from the Virgin Radio Pride Daily joins me every single week at this time. It's off last show of the run. I was going to say last show ever. I'd like to think they'd have us back, will they?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We haven't burnt our bridges.
Not yet. still quite a bit left of tonight's show. So, Grindr has carried out a survey of its users.
Mm.
How was this carried out? Any ideas?
They've just
door to door, door to door,
back door to back door.
A quarter of them are saying that they're on Grindr to network. Tell me about this. What does that even mean? Because it is an option on Grindr. That
apparently so. I mean, I've never actually been on Grindr, so I don't know what
you
it looks
liar.
Like. No, I was a gaydar guy.
Never
back in the day, and then you know, that's where I met Ian. And
Gaydar?
Yeah, and then that was it. Wow. So we just sort of both missed Grindr. He was just coming out. I'd been out for a million years. What's that you showing me?
I've got it.
Oh, there you are. But sure, you've got it.
Yeah, but I'm also in a long-term relationship, but yeah, we both got Grindr. So take what you want from that. but most queer couples are like you. have that kind of setup. That
do sounds they, really weird. Do they, what are you basing that on?
Just people I know.
Your outdated view. You're basing that on.
No, not everyone's
some
like that.
Some of us, monogamous.
Some people are. Some people are, but I'm emotionally very monogamous.
Physically, not so much.
No, but I would never cheat on my boyfriend. Cheating is lying to someone.
Mm.
But people have negotiated things, don't they? And other people just lie. So this is Grindr. This is what it looks like. You ever seen it?
Yeah, I'm aware of the logo and what it's about. I certainly wasn't aware that it had an option for networking.
Yeah, it does. Let me see. So I'm not going to show you what my profile looks like.
Why?
Well, there's nothing bad on it. It's just, but then you'll describe what's on it.
I know I will. Throw you under the bus.
I'm not gonna tell you what's on there.
Are there pictures of your wang on there?
No.
Oh, I've seen that picture. That's just you do that on Instagram with your pecs out.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Say pec deck in your accent.
What, in my actual
Scouse accent?
My native accent. Yeah. This is based on the fact I went to a gym in Liverpool once, and I don't know how you know this.
Because you told me.
I told you. All right. The guy that worked there was like, what you got to do is get on the pech deck. This is in Liverpool City Centre.
That's just the most perfect thing to say in this guy's accent.
And I fancied him so much, I could never go back to the gym. It terrified me. I seen him once out and about, and he went, when are we going to see you back in the gym, lad? And I was like, when you're not there, you fit man. So, yeah, your options on...
On the Grindrs.
On the Grindrs are, I'm looking for... These are your options. God.
What?
Sorry, I had one of them done. I had selected one of them. These are your options. I'm looking for
chat, dates, friends, networking, relationship. Right now. Did you have right now selected?
I'm not replying. This is funny as well. Accepts NSFW pictures. One of the options is yes, please. Which I have ticked. So, Grindr. Anyway, people who are on there that say they're looking for networking are lying. Like, one of my favourite things... one of my favourite things on there is someone that's put, like, the most highly sexualized pictures they get. Like, no top on, loads of pictures, a few albums that need unlocking. And then writes that, like, they're a power bottom. And then goes, just on for friends. Just on to chat. I'm only on to make... Here's another one. Gym buddies. Right. I was always reading between the lines on that one. Gym buddies, you say? Okay. So I just think that's all lies when people say they're only on there for networking. I mean, I guess looking for sex is a kind of networking, isn't it?
What jobs would you get from networking on Grindr? I mean, obviously, the guy that runs Grindr says he's hired people from looking on Grindr. But apart from that...
No, that's not quite what he said. He said he's developed professional relationships on the app.
And he's hired them.
He's hired them.
Yeah.
That sounds so dodgy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you meet? Weird. Oh, yeah, he's a power bottom. just sounds mad to me. What jobs could you get on Grindr? One I've had a few times is, are you a sex worker?
Right.
And then offering me significant sums of cash. And it's,
oh, how much?
I've been offered on Grindr. Mm. This is... I'm going to give you an example from years ago as opposed to just dredging up anything that's happened in the last 6 months. Years ago, someone said to me, do you want to meet right now? I'll pay you £700.
And this is years ago, so if we adjust this for inflation...
Oh, yeah, it's about 1,400 quid now.
Oh.
And my answer was, well, yeah, for 700 quid.
Amazing.
When? And then he ghosted me.
Oh, so you're right up for being a prostitute. And you didn't not do it on principle.
No, I just did it because...
You were ghosted.
I was ghosted, so that's upsetting. So there's a job you can get on Grindr.
There we go.
Right, next on the show. It's probably best we just end this segment now before I come up with any more incriminating evidence.
Wasn't there a thing... There used to be a thing on ITV overnights called Job Finder. So you could have, like, the Grindr Job Finder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another weird one you see on there, looking for a flatmate. I'm always like... Are you going to find the right kind of people on here? My experience, I had a string of failed relationships. My present one excluded.
Yeah.
They were all people I met on Grindr.
All right.
So for me, I'm always like, it's all well and good to find someone for a hookup, but if you're looking for a boyfriend, you're looking for a partner. And I know people have met their partners on Grindr, but you're not really getting much verification of a person, are you? I would think the best way to find a partner is to someone that you've sort of got some sort of social 3D verification on,
yeah.
Some data on over a few years, not just someone who's just appeared, looks great on the pictures and turns out it's got a massive drugs problem. Next on the show, we're talking Manchester Pride.
This is Outkast UK.
So our last show, sad times, gonna miss you. It's Manchester Pride this weekend. It's been on since, which is the first day of Manny Pride? Friday?
I think it's Friday, isn't it? Is it Friday to Monday normally?
Friday to Monday. And in my younger years, it used to be a challenge at Manchester Pride because people from all over the country had come to Manchester, which is where I was living, like I am now, but I did when I was younger as well. And a lot of my friends would come to Manchester and we'd all sort of catch up at the end of the day on Friday because people would make their way after work. And it was always a challenge not to end up completely destroyed. And then on the Friday night, because you had to go through the Friday, you could have the big day on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Then you could have some gas in the tank to go out on the Sunday night as well.
Yeah.
And then show your face in the village on the Monday for the walk of, not even the walk of shame. It was the most awful walk of your life. On the Monday. On the Monday after Manchester Pride, I always noticed, and it was probably the frame of mind I was in. So I was like, oh, it's getting dark early.
Winter draws on.
Winter's on the way, yeah. I'd always noticed that on the bank holiday Monday after Manchester Pride, you'd always notice that the nights are drawing in. Anyway, it's been this weekend, and some great memories of Pride. Kev, what's your memories of Manchester Pride? For me, Manchester Pride's the big one. As you can hear, like, grew up in Liverpool. We didn't really have a gay pride back when I was younger. They have now.
Yeah.
But we didn't have one when I was younger. So Manchester was the place to go to kind of be yourself. And so it was always really special to me. I always remember, like, I met my first boyfriend, Darren. We met at Manchester Pride through friends and that. So many memories, like, from me. What about you?
Do you know what? The overriding memory is of getting off with someone in a car park. I mean, by that I mean just kissing.
Right.
But I have a real thing with smoking, like an irrational phobia of smoking. I can't touch cigarettes or cigarette boxes, matches, lighters. It's weird, but it's a good thing because it means I'll never smoke. Yeah. Anyway, this guy was a smoker and I thought, well, I'll kiss him anyway and it'll be all right. And oh my God, I was retching and heaving everywhere in this car park. He must have thought that I found him so disgusting. Because it was so over the top. It's just this reaction I have. And I had all this horrible ashy taste in my mouth. Whoa, it was
when
horrible.
You get off with, I don't get off with a lot of people nowadays, but it's not. It's not a thing you experience as much if you're getting off with lots of people nowadays. Like when I was younger, you'd be like, oh, Marlboro Gold, lovely.
I'll be sick.
Regal King size there.
Oh.
Oh, that's a Sterling Silver.
Could you tell them
they're
each
the
brand
ones.
From the taste?
I smoked for many years and stopped. And in a particularly difficult period, I used to smoke Sterling Silver. They are really cheap, really rough, double strength, awful. Anyway, Manchester Pride.
So that's my memory.
The only memory of Manchester Pride is getting off with someone and tasting of cigs. Mine is so many different memories. Some of them are like magical memories, like meeting the friendship group that I'm still in touch with today. My people, you know, at Manchester Pride, they were all around me. Meeting it wasn't my first boyfriend, my second boyfriend. I was with him for like 10 years and he's sadly no longer with us. Darren, meeting him there and just being besotted with him. And then, you know, later on, I remember one year my friend Joe was coming to me, so she's getting the train from Bristol. He said, I'll be up on Saturday, whatever time it was, 5 p.m. I'll get there. And I was at, what's at the top of Canal Street? Taurus there. I don't know what it's called.
Oh,
now.
Whatever it is now. Yeah, I think it's something new again now. I don't know. Velvet's moving in there.
It might be Velvet.
Velvet.
It was up at the top there, and we'd been in there, and Polly, who you may or may not know, was the drag queen there, kind of the owner stroke drag queen and all that. And we were really drunk, right? And Joe's like, I'm here. I was like so excited to see him. So I ran from Taurus towards Piccadilly. And there's a tram line there.
Right.
And I was missed by a tram by, honestly, must have been an inch. And I remember thinking, I'm seeing Joe and he's like, wait! And I was just too drunk to notice and then nearly collided with a tram like that fella off thingy. Off
I was just
Corrie.
Was it nearly like Rita Fairclough and Alan Bradley and Corrie in the 80s?
In Blackpool, yeah. Oh. It was nearly like that. But I just thought the last noise I will ever hear in my life would just be the... the tram, the dead.
It's what he would have wanted.
Out with a bang. What awful thing to say. But yeah, people are... No, but so there are memories, but people have always been kind of, since, for about the last, I don't know, is it 15 years or so, kind of annoyed about the fact you have to pay to get in. I always managed to wangle a free pass, which I abused. but people were annoyed because it was 20 quid back in the day when they did the Ariana Grande one the other year, 2019, 70 quid it was for a pass to the village. And it still kind of sticks with me that's not... It doesn't seem fair to me. Most people in the Greater Manchester area, I'd say, there's a working class. You know, we're talking about, you know, people aren't really, really wealthy. You know, it's not like it's Chelsea Pride.
Yeah.
It's Manchester. It's one of the biggest cities in the UK. There's a huge population and a lot of people are struggling, especially in a cost of living crisis. And for them to charge for access to the village where you don't normally get access to in order for... It felt like a bit of a money spinner and that kind of leaves a bit of a bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been, I think it might be since 2010, 2011, because I went and was all excited to go, me and my partner Ian, and I just sort of looked at it with fresh eyes and I thought, you're just treating us like a giant cash register.
What year was this?
I'd say 2010, 2011. That's the last time I went. And it just seemed like you had to pay to get into certain bits of the village and then to get into certain bars. Uh-huh. And it was like...
Double pay.
No, what am I actually paying for here?
And then when you get in the bars, there's a huge queue and there's loads of reasons why that can be a bit of a pain. So these, I think, are questions that are worth bringing to the people that run Manchester Pride. Well, okay, I'm going to let you in on something now. For the show on Virgin Radio Pride this week, and I'm just checking my emails here, so I've still had no response from the PR company. So we were arranging an interview between me and Mark Fletcher, the CEO of Manchester Pride. That may or may not still come off, and if it does, you'll find it on the Outcast UK feed. I had hoped to get it on this. They haven't managed to get this sorted in time. And this is because there was a bit of a problem that they had with my questions. And I'm going to read you what my questions
right.
were going to be to Mark Fletcher, the CEO of Manchester Pride. Huge controversy the other year around like issues of his pay, because the amount of money that that they gave to charities went right down. They were meant to fund the George House Trust and the LGBT Foundation, and apparently stopped funding the George House Trust. They had previously said that it's an HIV charity, but people who aren't LGBT get HIV, so no more money for you
right.
at one point. And then they gave them a 10 grand grant when people kicked off. The LGBT Foundation, their condoms and lube scheme, which was everywhere, you know, you'd find that everywhere, and valuable, you know. You put that in front of people, they're more likely to make safe sex decisions.
Yeah.
So that funded that, and that went as well. Whilst at the same time, the entry price was going up and the cost of staging the event went up by £1 million because they were bringing in big names and everything. Yeah. So I thought this was a reasonable line of questioning to say to the CEO, what about this? How have you changed this? Now, I thought that I would be met with a response of like, yeah, he'd like to tackle on questions. But instead, they got back to me and said, we're not happy with the question. They wanted the questions up front before our chat.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, I've spoke to all kinds of pop stars and celebrities and everything. You don't get asked that very much. But the CEO of a local charity wants all the questions up front.
Yeah.
So I obliged and I wanted to keep it a positive experience. And the response, I'm just going to find you some of the questions I was going to ask. The lineup this year doesn't have an Ariana Grande style figure. Now they did last year's. Has there been a decision to keep the cost down compared to pre-pandemic? The entry price has always been controversial. Why is there an entry cost to the village over Pride weekend? Surely it's a barrier to entry for low-income groups. And in terms of what is the plan going forward in terms of its charity funding? Historically, this was the focus. Recently, there's been some controversy. And I got a message back saying, we're just finalising Mark's availability. We have concern with the questions asked. Some of these are outdated. Mark's been asked them before. Information's available on the website. Please, can you send new questions?
What kind of questions did they come back with that they wanted you to ask?
We won't be answering questions about Mark's pay. It's been answered in the past. It's not relevant to this year's event. Questions around Ariana Grande, etc. have been answered before, as have any questions around entry cost. People can find details in the FAQ section of our website, which is here. That's not the same as having an interview with someone. That's an FAQ section on your website. Instead, we'd like to focus on the diversity of this year's lineup, how the village party's being co-created with Manchester's communities. Well,
fine, that can be part of the mix, but...
And we'd like to talk about the launch of Queer Asian Takeover. I'm here for that. It's great. And the return of Trans Filth and Joy to spotlight marginalised groups. The person whose name I won't say, we're proud of the festival offering this year and we want to focus on this weekend and the future rather than focusing solely on the past. Is that okay? I thought I'd share this with you.
That's sort of not in the past, because there's people like me who still don't go there because they think that they're getting ripped off.
There you go. And I feel like this is a question for prides across the UK. What are you now? Are you a commercial event? Are you a music festival, a slick music festival, or are you a community event? Carl Austin, the former Lord Mayor of Manchester, was pointing out recently that Pride started as like a bring and buy sale for AIDS victims.
Yeah.
Outcast UK.
Got a live show coming up for Outcast UK, by the way. It's going to be the London Podcast Festival next week, September the 8th. Just do a search for info on that. Kev, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, so we've been doing Outcasts on Virgin for about 3 months. We've been doing it just on the podcast for about 5 months.
Wow.
Now, we record this in your house, in your home studio.
Yes.
And there's just been a thing, I think for pretty much the whole 5 months, I've been meaning to bring up and then I forget, and then I mean to bring it up and then I forget.
What?
So basically, the studio's in your house, and obviously at some point I'll need to go to the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And when I go to the toilet, I just brought it with me here, I'm confronted with this, which is Vicks Sinex Micromist Aqueous Nasal Spray Solution.
Yeah.
Now, that in and of itself, nothing wrong with that. It's a perfectly acceptable product. It's the expiry date. You guess when this expired.
From my own bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you were going to get a douche out your pocket then.
That's in my other pocket.
2016.
Oh, see, well, you've ruined it now. April 2017.
Oh, that needs to go, doesn't
and
it?
I go to the toilet and I see it and I forget and I see it and I forget. It's like, right, I have to mention this before we go. 27. What's wrong with you?
My toilet is like a sort of, you know, people have a walk-in wardrobe. I have a walk-in medicine cabinet that I never clean up. So that's my excuse.
But do you use this stuff? Is it doing any good?
Throw it in the bin if you want. Do you want to have a little clear out of the house?
I love doing that with my mum and Terry's when they go away. just throwing out all their food.
But they don't ask you to do anything. They come back, you've got to skip outside.
Yeah. Oh, you should see it. Just the amount of stuff that's in there that I don't know how they're not dead. It's gone off in 2015. I'm not even kidding.
It's been amazing. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Play Outcast UK on TikTok and Instagram. Just search Play Outcast UK.